Today, what I'd like to do, we're going to spend some time in the book of Daniel. So if you turn there, please. We're going to spend some time in the book of Daniel, the ninth chapter. And what we'll do, I'll ask if you could please stand out of reverence for God's word as I read this scripture. And the reason that we do this, we like to do this at our church, because we believe that the Word of God is literally the Word of God. It is literally Him speaking. And so when it's read out loud, it is as though the King of Glory Himself is standing and speaking in our presence. And none of us would be sitting if He was standing here. So we stand out of reverence for the Word of the Lord. We'll be reading Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. And I'm reading from the ESV. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descendant Amed, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Verse 3, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if I were to ask you this question, I would anticipate that I'll get a certain answer from you. What is the one word that you would suspect, if you were to go anywhere in the world and say this word, that it would be understood, regardless of the language that they speak? If you were to go someplace and you ask and you say this word, you would expect to be understood. Most people would say no, right? Because that's what our kids know how to say at a very young age, is no, and that's universal, right? Unfortunately, the answer to that is no, you're wrong. All right? Because depending on where you go, like I spent a week and a half in Turkey a few years ago, and I learned that the way that you say no there is higher, right? And so if you were walking around here saying higher, higher, people would think like, hi, what's up? Like, what are you, hi, because, right, because it's not no, okay? So no is not the right answer. Instead, the right answer is huh, which I didn't know was a word. I thought it was a sound, right? But it's a three-letter word that is in various languages. There was a study that was done by a Norwegian-based study-based team where they found that they looked at over 30 languages, listened to 20 conversations that were recorded, and found in all of them that the word huh was present in at least some form. Somebody paid them to do that, okay? But at any rate, we're not talking about the word huh this morning, okay? Instead, we're talking about something that is not as universally understood, and we're talking about prayer. You see, when you say to somebody that I'm going to pray for you, that can mean a lot of different things. For some people, prayer is chanting. Some people, prayer is meditation. For some people, prayer is positive thoughts, right? People say all the time, something happens to your family, and people say, our thoughts and prayers are with you. I appreciate that, but I don't know what your thoughts are doing for me. Right? And I don't know how I get them. What is that? What does that mean? For some people, prayer can be channeling, right? I mean, they get into all kinds of things. And prayer can be directed in a number of different places. Some people pray to the cosmos. They pray to the universe. Some people pray to the sun or to other elements in creation because they see the greatness of these things. The mountain, the rock, it's immovable, it's great, and so they pray to it. Some people pray to the ecumenical God, to the not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because we can't do that in public sometimes. They want us to just pray to God, whatever that means. Some people actually pray to Satan. So when you tell people that you're praying for them, it's important if we have the opportunity to try and explain, I am praying biblical prayer to the God of the Bible and letting people know this is what prayer is. And so biblical prayer is all about our communion with God. Biblical prayer is our way to engage and interact with our God. It starts with us understanding a little bit more about Him. We start with His revelation of Himself to us. And as we ponder those things and as we process his revelation, we start to see the gap, right? We start to see us in our heart. We see the sin that keeps us from his standard, that keeps us from his level. We see the gap in life around us, right? Mike just mentioned there's the Chu family that we're praying for, right? Why did his transplant not work? Why was he sick in the first place? He's not yet 40 years old. We look around and we see these things happening in our family, things that are happening in your church. And we look to God and say, okay, God, that's a part of our communion and our fellowship. And the intent is, as we talk to him, as we open ourselves up to him, we say, help me see, look in my heart, help me see the gap. Help me to see my sin and do something about the sin in me so that I can then grow in godliness. And when we look at the gap around us, we ask God, help us to see from your perspective the life that people are living and the pain that people are going through. And do something about these things and our perspective so that we can also thereby grow in godliness. And that's what we're talking about today. The title of the message today is Prayer, the Pathway to Divine Relationship. The Pathway to Divine Relationship. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, and I thank you so much for the fact that we are one capital C universal church around this globe, and we have these ties and these connections like our native city of Pittsburgh and the church planting network of Sojourn and things like that, Father. But most importantly, we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us and our sin, all for the purpose of glorifying our God and Father and the Father of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for these truths. Thank you for the unity that we find in these truths and in the Word of God. And so, Lord, as we now come to your Word, I pray that you would speak to us and open us up to desire to speak to you, and it maybe shape the way that we speak to you in a little bit of a different manner. And Lord, as I pray every time I bring your Word, I pray that you would please hide me behind the cross so that you alone are seen, heard, and glorified. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 points this morning. Prayer must start with the Word. That's the Word of God. And the second point is our requests should come from a heart of worshipful brokenness. Okay? And we'll start with the first point. And to kind of set this up, we'll begin reading Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. We'll reread this. In the first year of Darius' reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. All right, now quickly background. Daniel is in Babylonian captivity with the rest of the southern kingdom, with the rest of Judah. Okay? And your homework is to get your favorite beverage and your favorite snack and curl up. It's a little bit warm for your Snuggie, so we won't put that on. But curl up and read through 1st and 2nd Kings. And just take some time reading through those two books so that you can see the history of the kings of Israel and Judah and learn some of the mistakes that they made, some of the things that they did well, and just so that we can kind of see some of ourselves in these people. And in there, you'll read the details of how the Assyrians, their army, pushed their way through the northern kingdom. They took over the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. But they got to the walls at Jerusalem, and I won't tell you what happened there. That's part of your homework. Read that so you can see the amazing way that the Lord defeated them. But then 100 years later, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, the Babylonians came in, and they did conquer Judah and took all of these folks away to Babylon. So that's where Daniel is, and he is reading Scripture. He's reading Jeremiah, he's reading Moses and other folks, David. He's reading Scripture, and the thing that we want to take from this today is that in reading Scripture, the revelation of who God was in those Scriptures shed light on their present situation. Reading Scripture, reading the revelation of God sheds light on our present situations. What was he reading? He was reading Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And it reads as follows. This whole land, this is God speaking through Jeremiah, this whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. In this, he saw some specific details that pertain to their situation, right? He saw the reason for their situation. God was judging this nation, his chosen people, and he put them in this situation, okay? He saw that their situation must pass for 70 years. It had to go 70 years because God said it would. But then he also saw that there was a clue for the end of this exile. And it's in verse 12, right? Then after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon. Now, what did we read earlier in verse 2? In the first year of Darius, Darius is a title. Darius isn't his name. Darius is the title for this Medo-Persian king. In his first year, what does that mean? That means that the Babylonian king is dead. That means things are changing. Things are turning now. And Daniel's like, oh, this is it. This is year 71. Right? And so he's all excited now. He sees the end of this exile. And the beautiful thing that we want to take away from this, I think, is it's critical that as we come to this text and as we talk today, that we don't get the perception that we can read Scripture and look for prophecy that we would then apply specifically to our lives. Because that might happen, but for the most part, these are specific prophecies to specific people in specific situations at specific times. What happened here is that Daniel read the Word of God, and he saw the situation, and it gave him perspective from God's point of view. It helped him to look and see what God was doing. It reshaped Daniel's perspective, and he was able to see it from the perspective of God's holiness, from his, we'll start with his sovereignty, right? We'll start with the fact that God is great and he's sovereign. He can raise up nations and he can bring nations down. And in seeing that, that gives Daniel hope. At the same time, he could see it from the perspective of God's holiness, because God is not going to abide the sin that his chosen people are choosing to walk in. He has a standard, and he's saying, you are walking in rejection of me, and I can't abide that. And so you will spend 70 years, 7 is a number of perfection, 10 is a multiple, 70 is the 10th multiple of that perfect 7. So this is your perfect, perfect times 10 punishment for your rejection of me. God is holy, and Daniel sees this. The good thing is, he also sees in what Jeremiah wrote, that God is also just. He sees the justice of God, and so he sees that God is not going to abide by the iniquity of Babylon. After 70 years are completed, I'm going to punish Babylon. I'll use them for my purpose, but they will be punished for who they have been, their rejection of me. And finally, he sees God's faithfulness. Because he's not abandoning his people, the exile will end. Your punishment is not forever. I will come back and gather you back unto myself. This gives Daniel a biblical worldview and a biblical God view. He started with Scripture. He didn't come to this thing with an ethical worldview of if you do right to other people, then good things will come back to you. He didn't come to this with a politically correct worldview where you're afraid to say certain things. I'm going to go here. Seriously, because this is something that we have to address. Many of you don't know if you can call me black or African American. And that doesn't make any sense in the world. My name's Aaron. All right? Don't call me late for dinner. Right? Okay? So this is not what we don't get this politically correct worldview when we come to the Word of God. We get a biblical worldview, right? We don't come from this. Daniel didn't come from this with a patchwork, narcissistic, partially imagination, partially Scripture, partially what churchy type people have said from their churchy type Christian type mouths for years, right? He came from this thing with Scripture. And that shaped the way he prayed. And when we start with Scripture, that helps us to be able to pray rightly. And so that's why we want to start here. That's what Daniel did. And I believe that's what Jesus did. And I believe that's what we should do. And so as we start there, we then have the opportunity to progress, right? We've gone to the Word, and now we move forward with our request. But if we look at this passage of Scripture, we won't read all of it. But if we look at Daniel chapter 9, Daniel didn't just jump right from, okay, good, 70 years is ended. All right, God, time's up. Why are we still here? Okay? He didn't have a mentality of entitlement. Instead, his request came from a heart of worshipful brokenness. Look at the first thing that he did. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and what? Pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Well, hang on a second. You've been in exile for 70 years. God said that he was going to release you after 70 years. Why all of this? He saw the gap. And his first response was deprivation. It was fasting. It was going without. It was, I need to feel the effects of why we're in this situation. We're in this thing because of my sin and the sin of my fathers. We're in this because of our brokenness. And so Daniel prayed and fasted. He mourned over his sin. Like Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 26 talks about us mourning, Israel mourning over their sin as though they've lost their first son. And this is what Daniel is doing. His prayer is riddled with confession for the first 13, 14 verses. That's all he does is bounce back and forth between confession and worship. Confession and worship. You are this, God. We've done that. And so we deserve this. And man, that's kind of a hard place to start, Aaron. But that's what Daniel did. And I think this is the right place for us to begin. And so let's take a quick look through this. Verses 4 and 5. We can see a couple of things. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Worship. Verse 5, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. Confession. Verse 7, to you, O Lord, belongs righteousness. Worship. But to us, open shame, confession, men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all of Israel, because of the treachery that they've committed against you. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, worship, for we have rebelled against him. He hasn't asked for a thing yet. Then again in verse 14, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, worship, we have not obeyed his voice, confession. See, prayer, this type of prayer, comes from a realistic assessment of the situation. And a realistic assessment of the situation includes acknowledging our fault. Now, I'm gonna hold this up. You can't see it, but I wanted to do it anyway. It's in bold italics, underline, with three stars in front and three stars behind, and two exclamation points. Okay, so I'm going to try to communicate to you the emphasis that I put on my notes, okay? Our fault, please hear me, does not always mean what we've done to deserve the situation. Exclamation point, star, star, star. Okay? Our fault does not always mean what we've done to deserve the situation. Our fault means what we've done to fall short of God's standard. As a starting point. Because many of the things that happen in our lives are not because we've done something wrong. But we do have to come to the Lord acknowledging our fault. That we fall short of his standard. We come short of his glory. Our fault means acknowledging that we don't deserve God's grace. Because we sin every day. We have to deal with the sin that should earn us 70 years of exile. The sin that should earn us eternity in hell apart from God. So that, and man, this is so critical. This is so critical. So that we can come to the Lord in freedom and in true communion. Any relationship where there is wrong, it's very difficult to engage in communion with each other. And in freedom, there's something hindering that. It's like shackles on your wrists. And so we come to the Lord with confession because it frees us to enjoy our communion. That's worshipful brokenness. That's the starting point of our prayer. This is a posture of humility that Daniel is in, not a posture or a position of entitlement. And so he spends all that time in confession and worship, and then comes to his request. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. And this is a relatively large portion of Scripture, but let's read through it together. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God. Because your city and your people are called by your name. Look at that prayer. Daniel prayed back to God, God's revelation of himself. He prayed back to God all of the things that he'd been reading as he was reading Jeremiah and Moses and David. He's praying back to God Scripture. In verse 16, he talks about the righteousness of the Lord, his righteous acts. And that reminds me of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are the benefits that David listed? He started with the most important one. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Unwavering love and mercy. These are the righteous acts of the Lord. And the fifth one that he gives is, I'm thankful for this, who satisfies you with good. Not Snickers, right? He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's what God does. Those are God's righteous acts. And I love verse 6 in Psalm 103. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now, you may actually be under oppression. You may be persecuted. Someone may actually be holding you down. You may feel oppressed by the pressures and weights of life. And this scripture tells us that the Lord works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed. In verse 17, Daniel talks about making your face to shine. Make your face shine on your city. Shine on your sanctuary. It sounds like God speaking to Moses in Numbers chapter 6. You can write that down. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Right? Many of us sing it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Yeah. God talking to Moses, telling, go say this to Israel. With everything that they've gone through, this is what I want you to tell them. And that sounds like what Daniel is praying to the Lord. He's praying back God's revelation of himself to him. In verse 19 of Daniel chapter 9. He says again and again, your people who are called by your name, your city called by your name, again and again. And this sounds like 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. He's praying back to God, God's revelation of it. He's been in his word, reading scripture, in captivity. He's not on the beach. He's been in captivity, in exile, stuck with people worshiping false gods all around him. And he's been in the word, seeking God's face, desiring to know and understand who God is. And now, when he stumbles across this thing that sheds light on his situation, his response is, Lord, I'm broken. My people are broken. We need you to forgive us. Please forgive us. Please change us. Please turn us back to you. And after all that's out of the way, now, Lord, please hear. Please move. Please act. And the way that he's asking is because of who you are. Not because of my righteousness, not because of my people's righteousness, because we're not righteous, but because of who you are. Please move. Please act. And his prayer is still peppered with confession and humility. Our sin, our father's iniquity, not because we're righteous. And he makes this emphasis, and this should be the emphasis of our prayer, even as hard as it is, because we feel the things that we're praying about. Our prayer for the Chu family has been personal. God, please do this. We need you to do this. And that's honest. But the best way to pray is for your glory. Not because we want it, but for your glory. He says, for your name's sake, for your own sake, your city, your people have become a byword among the nations. He appeals to God's glory and asks him to do this. And so as I prepare to close, I just want us to think about why we come to the Lord and how we should come to the Lord. We've talked a little bit about that now in worshipful brokenness. But even in the worshipful brokenness, Daniel understood who he was. And he understood who Israel and Judah are, right? He knew that these are the people of God. He knew that there was a commitment from God to them. And so with everything else that we've said, in our humility, in our worshipful brokenness, remember who you are. You are children of God. You are bought with the blood of Christ. We just got done singing about Christ's sacrifice, and it's only because of his sacrifice. And I believe that Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, gives us hope as we come to the Lord. I believe that these two verses help to frame the way that we come to him, even in our humility, that we can come with hope. And we can come with boldness because we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. As hard as it is to spend time in confession, we want to jump straight to, Lord, please do. Lord, please act. As hard as it is to stop and focus on God's glory, let's remember this. We have a high priest who understands our weaknesses. Jesus knows what it's like to be in a tough situation and to want to say, Lord, if there's any other way, please do it. I'm sweating blood, literally. Please do it, Lord. But if not, your will be done. Jesus understands, and so we can come to him and come to God thankful that he understands our weaknesses and then draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy. And so for you who are in Christ, who have received Christ's sacrifice for you, you have already done that initial confession and said, God, there's a gap and I need you to fix it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for filling the gap. You are in Christ. Pray about everything, not just the big stuff, not just when calamity comes. Pray because you are in a relationship with the God of the universe. You are in a relationship with a great high priest who went through everything for you and me so that we don't have to suffer separation from God. We don't have to feel full judgment from God and full punishment from God. We can enjoy fellowship with him because of who Christ, our great high priest. And so go to him about everything. Pray about how you feel. Are you happy? Pray about it. Are you angry? Are you sad? Pray about it. Are you frustrated with God? Pray about it. Don't hold that to yourself. Are you depressed? Pray about it. Pray about what you have and what you don't have. Pray about what you want and what you don't want. Talk to the, you're in a relationship. You would talk to anybody else about those things. Talk to God about it. Pray about your family. Pray about the family that you want and the family that you don't want. Pray. Pray about your health. You feel good? Are you ill? Are you not well? Pray. Pray about your job. Pray about your finances. Pray about your boss and your coworkers. Pray about how you are seeking to be on mission but are struggling because people are calling you to be dishonest. They're calling you to be impatient. You are feeling frustrated because you just don't like somebody. Lord, help me. Pray about your job. Pray about your finances. Lord, I'm having a hard time making decisions about these things. I find myself spending money in ways that I shouldn't. Why? Help me, Lord. Pray about your neighbors. Pray about your sin, your struggles with sin, and your victories over sin. Pray about the Bible, what you are reading and what you want to read and what you don't understand. Pray about everything. Pray about your fears and your hopes and your dreams. Pray about your church. Pray about your ministry. Pray, pray, pray about everything. Pray with your Bible beside you and open, reading the scripture. Pray about what that reveals to you about yourself and about life and about other people. Pray with a pen and paper nearby so that you can write down some of the things that the Lord shows you. Pray with a hymnal nearby. Anybody still have a hymnal? Pray with a hymnal nearby. I was in prayer a couple months ago. I take that back. And an old song came across my mind, and I started flipping through. There's actually a Methodist hymn. It's called "We'll Understand It By and By." Anybody ever heard that one? "We'll Understand It Better By and By." And the second verse says, "We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But our trust is in the Lord, and according to His word, we'll understand it better by and by." And man, I sang that song till my voice was gone. And I prayed and I cried and I prayed and said, "God, I don't understand everything, but I know that I'll understand it better by and by." And that shaped my prayer because it's based on Scripture. Pray with the hymnal nearby. Put some worship music on and pray. So now finally, if you are not in Christ today, if you have not come to Him, if you've not had that initial conversation of God, you are holy, you are just, I am not, I am broken, I am sinful, I am unjust, I will always be unfaithful, please forgive me and change me. If you've not had that initial conversation, go to this great high priest who understands life. He understands the gap. In fact, he understood it so well that he became sin for you, so that you can become the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5. So for you, come to Christ today. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how long you've been in church, how many things you've heard that may or may not sound like something that's in the Bible, I'm telling you today that you can come to Christ. And so answer the call of Scripture and this word from me and from the Lord today to receive mercy and receive grace from this great high priest, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Thank you, God, that we are free to come to you. We are not bound by sin. Even if the first prayer that we pray is one that we are guaranteed that you will hear and you will answer, and that is, forgive me, save me. And so once we've done that, God, give us the conviction, give us the unction and the desire to pray. Drive us to our word, drive us to the Bible as we deal with the issues of life, so that then that would shape the way that we look at you. Because now we see more of your character, we see more of your capabilities. And that might help us to pray rightly. Because life is hard, God. And you know that. Christ, you experienced it, and you did not sin. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the joy and the hope that we can have in a relationship and in conversation and in communion with you. Please change our prayer life as a result of this scripture and other scripture that we read. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.